don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about doubt. Have you ever made a major decision without being assailed by doubts as soon as it was made? I don't think that I ever have. When I think back over the major decisions of my life, what I think of as the major decisions, I can remember being assailed by doubts and thinking, oh dear, I've missed the way of the Lord. I'm in trouble now. I've turned to the right hand or to the left, and I didn't hear that voice behind me saying, this is the word. I've disobeyed the Lord. I've failed him, and on and on. But once we have prayed over a decision, laid it out before God, and told him, this is very important, that we will do what he says, and then sought, as best we know how, to discover his will for us in that decision, then we have to act on it, and we have to stick with the decision. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Go ahead and do the thing, pay the price, carry through, finish it, commit yourself once you have made it, and never mind Satan's fury. Because, of course, the enemy of our souls can't possibly bear to see us obey God. Remember that he came to Eve as soon as she had heard God's word. God told her not to eat the fruit of that tree, and Satan came along and planted the seed of doubt in her mind. He said, did God say? Has he said that to you? I want to read to you from my book, A Lamp for My Feet. This is a book of short meditations that have come out of my own quiet time. You might use it as a devotional book, but I would hope that nobody would use it in place of the scriptures. It's just intended as a help to show you how to use the scriptures and apply them to your own life. And this is what I've said on page 33 of that book. One of the names of the enemy is the accuser. It is his doing when we have sought God's guidance and been as obedient as we knew how, and then remain in an agony of doubt as to whether God did guide and whether we really did obey. There is no end to the proofs the accuser can present to sow doubt in our minds. Hath God said, Genesis 3:1, was the first seed he sowed in the mind of Eve, and he has had a great deal of practice at that kind of planting ever since. It's to be expected that every decision made with a desire to be obedient to God will be attacked. Spread your doubts before the Lord. Pray for correction of any wrong in thinking or doing, and for his word of assurance as to the action you must take. If there is nothing else required of you at this moment, and I emphasize at this moment, leave it at that. Trust God. Put the whole weight of your doubts and cares on him. That will foil the accuser. Romans 8:33 and 34. It is God who pronounces our acquittal. It is Christ who pleads our cause. Remember that God's on our side. The devil is always against us. Does your decision depend on your own holiness? Well, let me give you this little word of advice from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. As we have worn the likeness of the man made of dust, so we shall wear the likeness of the heavenly man. Isn't that a word of hope? What a word of hope when we're discouraged with our own sinfulness. The old Adam is always there, rising in rebellion against the new life that Christ has given us. There's a constant struggle, daily reminders that we're still very unholy, very unchristlike, very dusty. But the day will come when even I, with all my glaring faults, will wear the likeness of the heavenly man. Now, this gives me some ammunition to fire at the accuser. I shall be like Christ. I can say to the devil, just wait. You'll see. That reminds me of the way Ann Kimmel used to say, I'm out to change my world. And then she would point her finger at three different places in the audience and she'd say, you wait. You watch. You'll see. Well, we can do that to our accuser, the devil, too. If you're discouraged because you've been looking around, if you're depressed because you've been looking inside, you can be delighted if you look up. God's perfection is my norm, not my neighbor or that woman in my church or that woman that I listen to on the radio. God is my norm. But are you saying, but I can't see a way through my present problem? Do you have to see a way through? Here's another passage from A Lamp for My Feet. This morning I was praying about three very complicated matters for which I have a share of responsibility. I could not see my way through them, and realized as I prayed that because I could not see a way, I was doubtful that there was a way. My limitations became, in my mind, God's limitations. Then my reading fell on Romans 10, where Paul speaks of the same sort of error, though much more far-reaching than mine, that of the Jews having supposed that they must find the way of righteousness by themselves, and that Gentiles could not possibly find it. The way is, and always has been, God's, and only God's, open to those who trust him. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich enough for the need of all who invoke him. Romans 10:12. And those words, rich enough, stood out. I had been praying as though my own needs might exhaust God's resources. I don't have to know how God's going to do it. I don't have to know what the way is, the whole way, the end of the way. I only have to know the one step that God is asking me to take. Now, some of you may have the problem that I have of not always knowing whether a suggestion comes from God or from the devil. And that seems like a very serious question if we're confusing divine guidance with demonic guidance. We are in trouble. Again, from my book, A Lamp for My Feet, page 70, a little meditation called, What Shall I Do? It is not always possible to know whether the source of an idea or deed is God or Satan, since God sometimes covers himself in cloud, and Satan, according to Scripture, is often an angel of light. It is, however, always possible to trust the shepherd, who has promised to lead us in paths of righteousness. We must do the thing that appears to be right at the right time and do it by faith. That is, we do it with an honest desire to obey God and a willingness to have what he wills us to have, or not to have what he does not will us to have. If it were not for uncertainties, we would have no need to walk by faith. And this quotation from Psalm 143, 8, 10, and 11 ends that meditation. Show me the way that I must take. To thee I offer all my heart. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Keep me safe, O Lord, for the honor of thy name. That's one of my favorite prayers. If you need a prayer for guidance, jot down Psalm 143, verses 8, 10, and 11. Show me the way that I must take. To thee I offer all my heart. And that's very important, that you offer all your heart. No reservations, nothing held back, no hidden, locked closets. Spread it out. Offer it all to God. And then the prayer, "Teach me to do thy will." There's one simple thing always to be done for the Lord and offered up to him in love and thanksgiving. I don't know what it is in your case. Maybe you're saying, but it has nothing to do with this horrible decision that I have to make. Never mind, just do the one thing that's next. Offer it to God in love and thanksgiving. That's a wonderful antidote for doubt. And amazingly, God will show you the next step. Now, doubt is not necessarily proof that you're a bad person or that you happen to be wrong in this one instance. It may simply be an indication that you're conscientious about following God. Maybe it means you're a thinker. I don't suppose we'd be tormented with doubts at all if we weren't thinkers. I don't suppose cows chewing their cud placidly in the pasture are tormented with doubts. As someone has said, beginning to think is beginning to be undermined. If we need to be undermined, we need to be undergirded by the everlasting arms, by that firm foundation, by that solid rock, which is Christ. Oswald Chambers wrote, "When in doubt physically, dare. When in moral doubt, stop. When in spiritual doubt, pray. And when in personal doubt, be guided by your life with God. Base all on God. And slowly and surely, the actual life will be educated along the particular line of your relationship with Him."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.